This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Mustang Monday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 22nd, episode 1365, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year. This
is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us on this Monday morning. Mustang Monday is what the auditors have dubbed it, because I bet you we have a record number of live listeners this morning because they all want to hear about what happened with the Mustang travels over the weekend and the auction and all of that. I think that there must be 100 posts in the auditor's Facebook page about the auction this weekend. People were following along very closely. I think they also want to find out if Jamie's still married and is sleeping in the barn. That's going to be the other thing we have to find out.
All good questions.
But we're going to get into that a little bit here. But we have a studio full of people today. And I think you're going to recognize the voice of Reese Koffler Stanfield, host of the Dressage Show, Grand Prix Dressage Rider, and my house guest last night. Hi, Reese.
Hi. Good morning, guys. How are you?
It's so good to have you here in person.
It's so fun. I had lots of things to do in Ocala, and I called Glenn. I said, hey, can I come and hang out and come on the morning show, see the studio?
Well, it's pretty fun. She's never been here. We've known each other for like 10 years.
No, I went to the studio in Lexington. Yes. And then I did actually do the in-studio really early on. I don't even think I was on the Dressage Show yet. And then now I'm here. And it's pretty cool. There are two studios. Well, check out the Facebook page.
Yeah, we posted pictures of everybody in the studio this morning. And we have all the way from Harlem. That's right, New York City. We have Stephanie with us, who's a listener, and said, I'm coming down and I'm going to go watch eventing and I have to come over and see and hang out during the show. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Glenn. Glad to be here.
Talk with your outdoor voice.
No library voices here.
Yeah, so. No library voices.
Sorry, guys. A little nervous.
There you go. Perfect.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi.
Good
it's
morning.
So good to have you here.
Yes, I'm super happy to be here.
It's so neat when listeners stop by and, it gets lonely in this room all by myself and just hanging out.
But I feel like I already know you, so I'm like, hey, Glenn, what's up, bud?
Yeah.
I think it's neat that Stephanie and I have been Facebook buddies for quite a while and you're getting to sit next to her. That's so neat.
And Harlem, we know
beautiful,
two...
sunny Harlem. Yeah, New York is this time here. Vacation hotspot.
Lovely.
Harlem, New York.
We're going to find out later in the show how you came to be into horses and ended up down here at an event this weekend. That's going to be fun to hear about. We also have eventer. She works for Michael Pollard, and I would call her a professional eventer. I asked her that, and she hesitated. But you do this for a living. This is all you do, right? You don't waitress, right?
No, this is it. This
okay,
is
then you're a professional eventer, in my opinion. This is Stephanie, or Allison. Hi, Allison.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. We're going to find out more about your weekend. You had an exciting weekend and your horse and all of that, and talk a little eventing later on in the show.
Forget
too.
Mustangs. I want to hear about her horse.
You want to hear how the event was. I could tell.
But we have a lot to do today as well, so Jennifer's going to tell us what's coming up in today's show.
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we welcome our in-studio guests, Stephanie and Allison, along with Dressage Radio Show co-host Reese Koffler Stanfield. As Glenn has already told us, Jamie is going to recount her wild horse, wild adventure. Thank you very much. And continuing on the wild theme, the Wacky World of Horse Nation features another installment of Leslie Wiley's blog sensation, Meeting Martha. I cannot wait. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
All right, let's do our daily winnies. My Daily Winnie's a three-parter. I have to give Daily Winnie to two people that wrote to us over the weekend. It was so much fun to hear from them. Maria Muniz. I don't know how to say that. Does anybody speak Spanish?
Muniz.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Well, she wrote, I love you guys. I've been listening nearly every day since mid-December. Well, you can go back and listen to all the old ones too, Maria. When I discovered I could download Hit 'Em to my phone, holy cow, are you guys informative and entertaining? You're definitely meeting your mission. She's a 31-year-old from Lancaster, PA. Woohoo, my hometown. Jennifer, Maria, if you're listening this morning, Jennifer would like you to send a wet bottom shoe fly pie. And I'll you can write to her for the address and just ship that on down.
Whatever that is, it sounds really disgusting.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Bottom.
I'm sure that's an Amish thing that you either like or you hate. But you could eat it, Jamie. I think it's probably... No, it's got way too many eggs in it. Celia, who'd say her last name for me there, Stephanie.
Creefles.
Creefles?
I was going to say Creifles.
Creifles. We'll go with Stephanie's then. Celia Creifles. She said, hi, I just wanted to say hi. I'm a new listener to and Horses in the Morning was the first show I listened to, and I love listening to it. You guys are the best podcasters in the world.
Woo!
Yeah.
And being that I'm going to a big podcasting conference later in the week, I'm just going to put this in big letters right across the screen at the beginning of my keynote speech.
Love
That's
it.
What I'm going to put. And she was so excited to hear about Jamie's story, her and along with thousands of other people. And I also want to congratulate auditor Rachel Rosenthal from Las Vegas, her and her horse Lyric, on winning their first Hunter show together. Oh, Lyric's 4 years old, and she got a blue ribbon, and she's so cute. So
that video of the horse licking the wall was just priceless.
Yes. Rachel also, we have 99% decided we are going to do a listener meetup in Las Vegas this year in September at the Andalusian World Show. So Rachel is going to be our on-scene coordinator there in Las Vegas. So we'll
Reese,
have
you and I, Vegas. It's a date.
I know. I got to check my calendar. We have the potentially a very big show, like our regional show is that weekend.
Who cares? It's
this
dressage race. You could come out
could
to
come
hang
to
with
Vegas
us.
And go, yeah. Dressage regionals, crazy everyone. Hang out with you guys
Vegas.
In Vegas. It's
It'd
really
be much
hard
more
one.
Fun. We're going to plan
hard.
Fun activities.
I know. It's going to be so cool. I'm going to try my hardest. And I think I could get Travis to come for that.
Some blackjack.
Oh, my gosh.
Travis better come.
He better come, yeah. Or we can be in trouble. He'll be in the horse
Horse
husband.
Husbands are required.
Oh, my gosh. It would be fun. If I can, I will be there. Don't you worry, kids.
All right, we'll announce more about that coming up here. We're going to chat with Reese for a couple minutes and then get into Jamie's Mustang Monday. But Reese has to leave us a little early today. You have lessons today, right?
I have lessons, yeah. So that was one of the reasons I came here was my old, actually, Casper, my international horse, is retired here. So I saw him last night, gave him literally half a bag of cookies. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, maybe we should slow down, buddy.
Casper was the best horse ever.
He was so
Your
cool.
lifetime horse.
He was
I
my
think.
Lifetime horse. So yeah. I got to see him last night and give him kisses, and he's so happy, you know, to see a horse retired. Like, I got the best picture of him on his patio. I mean, it just brings tears to your eyes because that's what you want when you
Where
retire.
Where is he right now?
He's in Micanopy with a really good friend of mine.
And, he's retired to pasture.
He is retired.
Just pasture.
Yeah. Well, he still doesn't really go into pasture. He goes in sort of a, yeah, he has a nickname Special K for a reason. He's still special. I mean, he's 24.
And he's still special.
And he's still special. He actually colicked a couple months ago. But he looks great. Like, you would never know. And he's doing super. And then I get to see Glenn and Jennifer. And that was super cool. And be on the morning show, meet new friends. And then some lessons. And where Jen and I are going on a hay mission. We're going to pick up some hay. So.
They found a line on some cheap hay. Yes. So that's in we're Florida, like, you go 100 going, miles to yes. find cheap good hay if you have to.
I can't believe they haven't left already.
Yeah. Don't worry. Jen and I have the address and we are going.
They're bringing the shotgun in case anybody else is there.
Really, kind of true. It's so true. So yeah, in South Florida, hay is about $20 a bale.
Yeah.
So it's really expensive. And I keep saying, how many are we going through a day? Like, it just hurts.
Because you get those big warm bloods, they eat a lot of hay.
So
what, now how are you doing in Wellington?
Doing great. It is, really busy season, sort of full swing ahead now. And It's all good. The horses are doing super. Eland Court, also known as Master Hello, did his first pre-St. George. So that was a big one. And he was fantastic. That was 2 weeks ago. And then I show this coming weekend. He's doing a fourth level freestyle, which is fun. That we did that last year and went to the national championships. And it's a great experience for
a What's your music?
One. It's actually Michael Jackson and yes! Sex in the City. Yes. It's really cool. It's fun. We changed the Cantor music. So we've been pretty busy on... I was hoping the change from third level to fourth level would be easier than from the musical side. And it turned out we pretty much had to do the whole thing over. I was like, oh. So that was the plan, was just a quick update the canter. It didn't work that way, as we all know in horses. We're like, oh, this is an easy project.
I've always said that in eventing, we should change the dressage to a freestyle to start the competition and skip regular dressage. Let's just do a freestyle.
I think more eventers would be into that.
And I think you'd actually have
make
people
a little
watching.
More motivating, yeah. Maybe.
You'd actually have people watching then, too. You'd actually have an audience. It's so funny. You go to Rolex, and there's 50,000 people there on Saturday.
But I know.
Nobody in the stands for dressage.
Two people.
Yeah.
There they are.
We are trying to increase spectators for that sport, so that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. It'd be more fun. Everybody have a good time with it. And Lord knows what the eventers' music would be.
It would be pretty awesome. It would be fun. They take a lot of work, though. That's the only thing. And I always tell people, because it's a requirement now for Pony Club as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but if your child is doing it or you are a young one listening, please don't start a week before, because you will literally be doing it for the entire week and get to sleep about 3 hours. So they take a really long time to get, but they're really fun. So that is Friday and Saturday. And my assistant Ashley is also full swing ahead, showing her two guys. So clinics, and there's just lots of stuff going on. So.
Cool.
It's fun.
Very good. Yeah. Now that the weather's finally cleared down for you guys, you had a ton
it
of rain.
It rained.
For a month.
I have never seen so much rain. And you know, when you're paying all that money, and I'm like, I have an indoor at home, and I could be at home, and it was warm. Like, it was almost the same temperature in Wellington as it was at my house in Kentucky. Now, the bottom, everyone up north knows, it fell out. But at the time, when it was raining literally 10 inches, I was like, why am I even here? I think I cried once. I think it happened. I just, we couldn't ride, and the horses couldn't go outside. I mean, it was so hard. There was a tornado that went literally, so we're kind of near Lion Country Safari, where literally there are lions, and a tornado went through.
Oh my gosh.
And an alert came through our
phone. Oh my gosh, that there might be lions.
No worries. The lions, the cage or whatever is still up.
I was like, no, it's not lions running around the equestrian neighborhood.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God.
Bring your little ponies in, quick.
Get the ponies in, the lions are out. I was like, okay.
Warbloods might have a shot. Little ponies and minis, forget.
You're in trouble. So literally that has been, that was a fun afternoon. I really enjoyed that one. I think we started drinking early. I'm not going to lie.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me as a house guest. And I can't wait to hear more about the Mustang Monday with Jamie.
All right. Well, let's do our Daily Winnie first, because she has to talk about some other horse.
Well, I got to give my Daily Winnie to, by the way, I love Reese. Just love her. Got to give my Daily Winnie to... That's right. The big Z, her baby is iconic. Zenyatta's baby's iconic, ran his first race over the weekend. And I think we should take a listen. Remember her first baby. He went to his first race and they gave him a really big chance. And he came in last, dead last. So then they were like, okay, he's got experience. He's going to go out. He's going to do better. And he went out and he ran second to last. So I guess that's an improvement.
Reese just bought him as a dressage horse.
He's currently in my barn in Kentucky. Beautiful boy.
Bless his heart. Yeah. So when asked about, when reporters asked John Sheriffs what the difference between Zyconic and Cosmic One are, John Sheriffs replied, Zyconic's faster. So let's see if it translated to the race.
Gates back and they're racing. Zyconic drifts well back in the early stages. Away well, Snecker out wide. Adios Reality and driving through nearer the inside. One more round's going to take up the early lead. Can't remember just off them. They were followed in turn then by Fast Money. Getting a fair way back was Delmore and tailed off in the early stages. Zyconic. It must be seven or eight lengths behind the second last runner. Midway dead down last. The back and one more round showed the way. Adios Reality in the gold jacket up on the outside in second and the favourite Snecker going up three wide. Just off them, Fast Money. They were followed in turn by Can't Remember. Then Delmore, and still that long gap away to Zyconic at the rear. They turn off the back straight, and the leader one more round shows out by a clear length. The outside is Adios Reality as they came down the side. Going up next of all as they turn in is Snecker being ridden but beginning to improve. Just off them, Fast Money as they turn at the top of the straight. Delmore begins to run into it, Can't Remember, and still back at the rear is Zyconic. They turn and straighten up for the run in. One more round is the front runner coming up on the outside. Adios Reality trying to claim it, and down the outside, Delmore's made a quick run at them. Fast Money between horses. Delmar, Fast Money go up on the outside of one more round. It's Delmar the outside. Fast Money goes with it strongly. Fast Money over on the inside lifting. Delmore tries to go with a Zyconic down the outside, but Fast Money races away. Second, Delmore and Zyconic close very quickly for third. They were followed by one more round. Next in, Adios Reality.
Oh my God, he ran just like his mama. Dead last, dead last, dead last. Final turn. Here he comes. Give that horse one more furlong, Glenn. He's going to win them all. Yay! I'm so excited. He showed so much potential.
Okay. How old is Zyconic?
He's three this year.
Three this year. So he's Kentucky Derby bound, or maybe?
I don't think he's got any of the qualifications. This was just his first race, so unless he goes out.
Does he get an exception because his mama's Zenyatta? He can just do it.
Right, you would think. Now, you know, they don't usually race horses till the end of their third year, so they must be really hot on him and think he's really ready to go, because he's running in February of his 3-year-old year. He's probably, you know, technically birthday wise, I don't think he's three until like April. So they're feeling pretty confident about him, I would imagine. So he was ready to go, and look at him go. He came. Oh my God. It was just like her, like 10 links back. So far back. You're just like, oh no,
it was not looking good there for a while. No. Not good.
Okay. Okay. Enough about that other horse. Everybody's waiting to hear this. We might as well get on with it. They're all going to be really mad. And with the help of Jerry over the weekend, we put a little opener together for segment.
And now, the day we've all been waiting for, Mustang Monday.
Mustang Sally, now baby, oh Lord, guess you better slow your Mustang down.
Mustang O'Malley, I think you better slow that Mustang down. Whoa, Mustang O'Malley, I think you better slow that Mustang down. You've been running all over town. I guess it's time you put your flat feet on the ground. All you want to do is ride around O'Malley, ride O'Malley, ride.
Mustang was my first love.
Thanks to Jerry Johnson for putting that together. Can you guess what the name of the horse is Jamie might have bought at the auction?
Oh, my gosh. Where do I start? Where do you want me to start, Glenn?
Well, we all know you drove there, so let's just get to the auction.
Yeah, it is a long, oh, my God, that's a long drive.
How far of a drive? I didn't know that information.
So I drove Thursday. We left a Thursday afternoon, and my best friend Donna rode with me. She, talk about a trooper. She flew from Atlanta to Phoenix to get in the car to drive for 4 days.
That's awesome.
That's a friend. We left Thursday, and it's about 4.5 hours to Vegas, and then the next day it's about 8.5 to get to where we're going to go. So 12, 13 hours total, and then you got to turn around and come home. So almost immediately, pretty much the next morning, so... It's a long drive. My back is stiff. I'm a little bit sick. I think all I ate yesterday was various forms of potato chips. So
you're hurting today. It was cool.
I'm hurting.
Road tripping. And yes. Now you're feeling it.
Now I'm feeling the road tripping. Thank God I didn't have to get up early on Monday morning to talk about it. Oh, wait. So just getting right to the auction, I got permission to Periscope. So I was kind of Periscoping on the way in and Periscoping through there. And then my phone died.
Totally. I was wondering why it stopped right in the middle of a Periscope. I was watching, and it was gone.
Dead. Done. I mean, the Periscope sucks your battery away. So I was like, okay, the pressure's off. Like, I don't have to. That's stressful to let everybody know what's going on, too. You know, I was like, I just needed to cleanse my soul. And so if you guys watched any of those, so all the inmates are on the horses, and the horses are just inside this fence. So the trainers, as they're called, you can go up and you can ask them questions. You can say, hey, let me see the horse trot around a little bit, you know, and they'll turn them around and go. The arena's kind of standing behind them, and they'll go ride them around a little bit. And you can go visit them, pet them, whatever. You can't see them without their tack on. You can't really, you know, it's a crapshoot, really. I mean, it's like look at a horse at the back of the fence.
For new listeners, the prisoners get them about 3 months ahead of this, right? They have 3 months to work with them from, and they're just unbroke, untouched at that point.
3 to 4 months, okay. Unhandled, untouched Mustangs, and so yeah, so they get them, and these guys just get the crap beat out of them doing this too. I mean, imagine like, and most of
that
these
would be
guys,
the prisoners, not the horses.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good clarification.
Horses are fine, but they, you know, a lot of these guys. Most of these guys have never even been around a horse. They've never ridden a horse. So imagine starting a Mustang and then learning to ride it while it's trying to kill you and fuck you off. So, it's wow. Really interesting.
Do they volunteer for this, or is it the really bad ones that have to get the Mustangs?
They actually volunteer. They actually, well, remember the last girl we had on from the BLM talked about they have to apply for these jobs.
Yeah.
They actually volunteer and they get paid. She said, you know, like dollars a day, but they get paid to do it. And it's very much I think a chest beating. Oh, my horse did, you know, is going to be sold for the most money. And that's kind of what they all want, is their horse to go to a good home and for them to sell for the most money. And so when I pulled in, I had met some girls that were going to go through a Facebook page that we have for all the Mustangs. And so I'd met some girls Friday night. We had dinner. And so we pulled in, and they've been to like every auction for years. So we pull in and I'm like, and we're 40 minutes early. And I look around, I'm like, oh crap. There is a sea of trailers. And when I went last year with Thor, there was maybe 6 trailers and, you know, a couple cars. This was a long line. Looked like I was at a, you know, horse trial or something. There's 100 trailers lined up. She gets out of the car and she turns to me and she goes, I have never seen this many people at one of these auctions. It was insane. The amount of people, there was 60, 70 people that got a bidding number for 17 horses. It was, the word is out. That these horses are well, you know, they're well.
I guess we shouldn't have talked about it so much.
Yeah, I wonder who's
responsible. Yeah, I wonder who kept bragging about it to tens of thousands of people.
I know. Oopsie. I don't know what I was thinking. Nobody go. They're terrible. All the horses are lame there.
Very lame.
So we get out and I'm looking around at all the horses. And the first one is McFly. And we go talk to his trainer. And then we talk to Squirrel's trainer and just ask questions of all of them. I ask kind of the same questions that I did last year with how spooky are they on a scale of 1 to 10? And, you know, 10 being the most, because it's still for an event horse, you want a brave horse that's going to run down and not one that's still spooking at everything. And for the most part, none of these people volunteer any negative information about their horse. So you kind of have to like wave your arms and see what happens. Oh, okay. He's spooked. you have to kind of use your own judgment, because I feel like a lot of times this one, he never spooked. Like, he's a wild Mustang. Of course he's spooked. But, you know, so you got to take their word kind of with a grain of salt and really kind of assess the horses. But I'm walking down and back, and I saw the little horse that Elisa Wallace said should be the number one pick, named O'Malley. And I did not go visit with him. I did not ask a question of his rider. What? I did not even look at the horse. Oh. Because I just knew that there was no way that I was going home with that horse. And I thought, whatever horse, if I get one, I go home with, I'm going to be disappointed. You know, like, I'm going to get my second choice. So I'm not even going to look at him. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to focus on him. So I, this is the only horse I did not go pet, ask questions of, look at, talk to the trainer, nothing. The only horse. So the auction starts, and the first one to go was Gunner, the buckskin. And if you recall, Gunner, the buckskin, is the one Elisa Wallace said is kind of back at the knee, you know, not really a great potential for an event horse or jumper or something like that. So I didn't bid on him, obviously, and trust me, lots of people did. No, because some of these things you can't really tell. He was bid on for the total of $5,000. He sold one, a Mustang, $5,000. Can you just sit with that for a second and think about that? $5,000.
So a lot of eventers would like to sell their lower level horses for $5,000 that they're working with them for 2 years.
I know. It was just a bidding war after bidding war. It was crazy. I'm trying to find the...
Jennifer has put the chart on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page.
Good, because I can't find it, and I don't want to bring my phone over here because you'll yell at me.
I mean, you're talking 3,100, 1,600, 2,900, 2,900, 2,800. When you were there the first time and got your first one, there were horses that were actually sold in the hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, like 250 to 400. That horse I liked, Sheldon the Black one, went for $400. And they were getting down increments of $10 a piece to where the highest selling horse in Thor's auction was $3,000. The average price in this auction was $3,000. They made over $40,000 for the prison. Let's see, Handsome Ransom, $3,100. The cheapest horse in the whole thing was Bones at $850. And then other than that, I could not have afforded, if I had stayed within my budget, any horse. So we watched the first horse go $5,100. Next one, $3,100. And I turned to my friend Donna and I'm like, I'm going home with an empty trailer. I can't afford these prices. Gypsy went for $16. Then McFly and Arnold, $2,900 a piece. Eugene, $2,800. Jericho, the other buckskin, $4,200. And I thought, there is no way. So here comes O'Malley. And I'll just tell you why the good Lord shined down on me at that moment. So the trainer comes out to ride the horse. Bless his heart. You know, they've been working these horses, and they rehearsed what they're going to do. So the guy is running, you know, trots him around a little bit. And he's the only trainer that's not like goosing the horse and trying to get him to gallop, because I think they were trying to impress everybody with the fact that these horses can gallop around. And this guy was kind of taking it a little slower. Then he gets off O'Malley. And he runs his hand down the front leg and, you know, pats on it to show you can pick up a foot. Then he goes to the back leg and he picks up, and the horse is just, the reins are over the neck. And he picks up the back foot and pounds on it, and O'Malley takes off. Dead right. He's like, I'll show you my gallop. And he cannot be caught for like. Awesome. And this is like the moment where the auction is supposed to be going on, and this poor guy can't catch the horse.
You feel for this guy.
It was so painful to watch.
Do you think they gave him any crap in the lunchroom the next day?
Man, he's still hearing it.
And so it goes on. So
bad finally, enough he's in prison.
He finally yards this horse, and he's like, okay. I mean, he didn't say anything, but he picks up the front leg, and then he goes to pick up the back leg again, picks it up, boom! Oh. O'Malley's gone again. Runs away a second time. And at this point, the crowd is muttering. And at this point, everybody that knows me turns to me and goes, you're getting that horse.
That's your horse.
Like, there's nobody's gonna bid on that.
Jamie's had a reputation for having horses that run away, so this is perfect.
It's true,
but the point is, like, he looks like a wild horse right now. He looks crazy. Oh, you can't catch him. And then, of course, because as soon as this happens, the inmates, basically the trainer, is really angry and frustrated. And if you run at any horse, much less a wild horse, kind of angry and frustrated, what's gonna happen? They're gone. So it took even longer for him to catch the horse the second time. And then it's dead silent. And the Hank, the guy that's got the microphone, he goes, "All right, we understand. You can't pick up his back feet. Move on." So he gets on the horse, and poor guy at this point is just... And I had been told by every inmate I talked to, oh, yeah, O'Malley will go for the most money. O'Malley will go for the most. Like, everybody knew, because he's the chestnut with the wide blaze and the four white socks, flaxen mane and tail. He looks like a Barbie dream horse. And I thought, there's no way. So the bidding starts, and it starts out really slow. And I'm just listening because I realize that this is going to go too high still. And everybody's going, "You're going to get this horse. You're going to get this horse." And I'm like, "I'm not going to get the horse. Like, listen to it." It starts to slow down at 1500. Now, for those playing along at home, that was my budget. So who bid 1600? Me. So I started bidding at 1600, but it was slowing down. And I think there were two other people, and they started bidding a little bit. And then I don't know what happened to me, but I got possessed by the devil. And I had my little bidder number inside my jacket, and it had gotten up to 2200, and it was stopping. So I reached inside my jacket pocket. My arm was moving itself. I had no control, husband. I had no control for what happened at that moment.
It happens.
It does happen.
I've had this happen to me.
Yes. It was like a blur. Something possessed me. And I pulled the number out of my pocket. I'm like, 23, you know. And I don't even say anything. They just point at you and go, 23. And then it went back to somebody. The next person that was bidding bid 24. And it's like, and I see the one guy who's bidding next, and he turns to his wife, and I can't hear them, but I can see him turn to his wife and mouth, "This is it." And he puts his hand up and bids 2,500. And it's silent, and there's nothing going on, and nobody, and they're going, "Okay, 2,500 going once, 2,500. And I was like, "Well, that's it." And the good Lord himself reached into my jacket pocket and pulled that number back out and threw that hand pulled in the air. They looked at me and they go, 26. And nobody says anything after that. I'm going, "Oh, dear God, somebody please bid. Somebody please bid. What did I do this whole time? Oh, my God, what did I do?" And they're like, "Sold." Oh, my God. I turned around and everybody's like, you got him. And I turned around and I go, "Oh my God, I'm getting divorced." So I went over budget. It could have been worse, but I got the horse and everybody was so excited for me. And I was so scared. I was like, Oh my God, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do? My friend Donna's like, "You got him. You're dead meat." So the first thing I had to do was I was shaking. I'm like, "Oh God, I'm in so much trouble. I'm so much trouble. So I run back to the car and I'm like, "I got to call him. I got to throw it out there." So I called Chad and I'm like, "Oh," and he's like, "Hey, how'd it go?" And I go, "Oh my God, you're going to kill me. You're going to kill me." And he's like, "What happened?" I said, "I bought a horse." And he's like, "Congratulations. Which one?" I go, "I bought O'Malley." And he's like, "Oh my God, you got the one that you wanted. Congratulations." "Oh, wait, how much did you spend?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh." And I told him and he was silent for a second. He goes, "Baby, that's awesome.
Aww.
That is awesome. You got the one you wanted. Congratulations. I'm just married the greatest guy on the planet." And he said, "You got the one you wanted. You didn't go crazy. It wasn't like I spent $500.
It's only $1,100 over.
That's
yeah.
That's only like double your budget.
double. It's fine. He knew you were not coming home.
Now, I want to, after he had time to think about it, when you're on your way home, was your stuff on the lawn when you got to the, no?
Oh my gosh. I think it would have been had this horse not been so stinking cute. He is the cutest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, that's what my friend Donna, she's like, you got to name him So Stinking Cute, because that's all you call him. It's So Stinking Cute. He's got this big blaze. He looks just like a little, like I said, a little Barbie dream horse. We were Googling what Barbie's horses' names were, and I just can't name him Star Dancer. So
Star Dancer.
Name
search continues. I just love him. And so we turned him out last night. And when I got home, you know,
did
you don't
load, really, by the way? Your other one had trouble loading. Did this one load?
He jumped in the trailer.
Oh,
jumped
good.
In. Yes. Like, it was awesome. It was awesome. He jumps in the trailer, and I, you know, of course, had it bedded down chest deep in straw, and I just took the halter off of him, and I said, you got, you know, pretty much 2 days to sit here. I had a muck tub full of water. I had a ton of alfalfa, because that's all they eat there is alfalfa, so I had a ton of alfalfa.
Yeah, we feed them good at the prisons, apparently.
Yeah, I'm like, dang.
Yeah, that's what they get fed. So alfalfa, and he's on the thinner side, so he definitely could use a little bit of weight. And so I just shoved it to him, and I said, enjoy yourself, because I'll basically not see you until, you know, we get home. Until I can't go in there till we get home. Well, we stopped one night, and his water was really dirty, and I thought, well, I got to clean his water out. So I climbed in there, and all gentle, and he's just so friendly. He's very, very, very curious, but he's not flighty, and he's not spooky, and he's just so stinking cute. I can't stand it. He's little blaze, little chrome.
He has a very kind eye, too.
He does. Yeah. He's so soft. And so when I got him home last night, you know, I pulled the trailer in right next to where the gate is to the arena. And then we parked the car behind that. So, you know, just in case he gets out away, you never know what to expect with these guys. And, you know, with Thor, I had a long rope and I kind of stood there and waited for Thor to make the decision to come out. This horse pulled me out of the trailer into the arena. He's like, okay, I'm going to roll. And he must have rolled 400 times. He's just the fanciest little trot. I'll post a video later on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page of his trot. We were doing slow motion videos of him because it's like ping, ping. Reese will be jealous.
I'm so excited to see him. No, I want to be like the digital coach on him.
Oh, I would love that.
So you can send me videos. I'm in this project now. This is awesome. I've been on the edge of my seat. It's been cool. I'm super excited. I want videos.
Can I sign up in advance to buy him?
Yeah, you have a waiting list already.
Yeah, and of course I come home.
$10 million.
My friend is like, hey, you got so much chrome, you're going to make so much money. Halfway through the trip, she's like, you're never selling this horse.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And I get home and Chad is like, oh my gosh, he's so beautiful. You did really, really good. You're never selling that horse. So as long as the husband knows. I mean, the thing about these guys is, especially for me being like a 2-day journey there and a 2-day journey back, you feel like you've been to war. You have studied all this. You have strategized. You have gone there. You have fought people off and you have come home victorious. And it's like, you're not going to sell your war buddy. You're not going to throw him out. It's like Thor. I feel like that horse and I, and by the way, let me tell you, I am never doing this crap again. I lost 10 pounds while I was gone, and not in like a good way. It's so stressful. It is so okay strategy wise. And I think there's just more at stake for me because I've driven so much farther. Like I drive in and the guy looks at my license plate and writes down the number and he goes, you're a long way from home. Like it's so, people just can't figure out why I would drive this far to participate in this. And most people live, although there was some people from Southern California that had, I think, drove up a lot of the bidding. But it's stressful. I'm like, that's it. I'm done with this. No more going to this prison. It's so scary. And just there's so many factors and they're getting so much more expensive now.
I give her 1 year.
Done.
It'll be next year.
Done.
I'll take that wager. I'll be pretty safe.
Yeah, I'll be second on that.
Well, congratulations, buddy.
Yay, Jamie, congratulations. It's so cool.
Good job.
I can't believe that's the one I wanted. And my warm blood was Dark Bay. Then I got Edward is Dark Bay. Jet was Bay. Thor is Bay. Just plain old Bay. And I got the flashy one. I've never had one that's this colorful. I'm so excited. So just so you know, when I put him out last night, I did some join up with him in the arena, and he is so cute. He followed me everywhere, and I was able to, and I didn't get this far with Thor the first time, but this guy's a lot spunkier, which could be good or bad. I was able to touch every part of his body. And it took a longer while to build up trust with Thor. And I, you know, I'm curious to see what differences there are between a wild born, which is what Thor is, and a facility born, which is what this horse is. So take a look at him. Tell me what you think. And he needs a name because O'Malley's too hard for Lucas to say. So we need to come.
Two-year-olds can't question, say O'Malley. So.
Were you able to touch his back feet?
I was, and he did not run off. I didn't pick him up, but I just gently ran my hand down him, and he just kind of stood there, but he picked up both his front feet perfect. So my farrier did tell me, again, just like she did last year, I ain't coming over till you can pick them all up with your eyes closed. I'm not coming. I'm like, I understand.
Let's tell everybody what you're going to start feeding him.
Oh, what do you mean?
Omega Alpha. That was a beautiful transition.
That was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. Transition.
I could not have that transition any better.
She did look at the notes. I've done
God,
it.
God, Jamie.
This is the difference between live and recorded. Yeah, in our case,
Reese,
say,
the other host
oops.
In the room, is going, that was great.
Was like,
and Jamie's
that?
Going, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, I'm not feeding him. I'm going to be supplementing him.
Okay. I'm sorry, I should rephrase that.
And Reese would have said, cut, and said, yeah. I'm not going to be feeding him. I'm going to be supplementing
him. Yeah, I
would
have cut that. And that would have been a cut. That's the difference. Like, we're recorded, so I would have been like, cut, and then we would have had a big laugh. It would have gone in the auditor's page.
Yeah, it would have gone on the blooper reel.
In the blooper reel, which we're like, we are the blooper reel, Phil and I, so I felt it. That one should go in the blooper reel. I'm just saying. That was okay. Jamie's one.
Okay, here we go.
Would you like
go.
Me to rephrase that? And I know you're going to be supplementing him with Omega Alpha starting today, right?
I am. And you know what, Glenn? You know what I'm going to be giving him is Regenerac. It has been scientifically formulated to promote. And I'm reading this because as I was reading this, I realized that this is all going to really help this horse. It's going to help with appetite and weight gain and create a healthy gastrointestinal environment. It improves behavior and performance. When their stomach doesn't hurt, they feel so much better. They just feel like a better horse. So if you remember, Regenerac is a way to promote prolonged gastrointestinal health without limiting the stomach acid production. So the stomach acid production is vital in digesting the food. So this goes along with all of that and helps the stomach. All you have to do is give 15 cc's, which is like an ounce, twice a day for 16 days, and then a maintenance dose of 15 cc's once a day. And you guys, it is worth it. So here's what's going to happen is I've never actually used this product, and this is exactly what I felt like this horse needed. So I'm really excited to give it a try, and I'll keep you guys up to date on how it works, because Regenerac, and I've heard it goes along well with Biotic 8, which, as you guys know, I give pretty much every horse when they get here. And so Biotic 8 and Regenerac are going to be this horse's new best friend. That's what I'll be feeding him, Glenn.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
Equal.com.
That was well done. Good job. OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And by the way, the over-under right now on the auditor's page is that next year. Nobody is taking the bet. Pretty much they're talking about it's like potato chips and, all of that. So you don't have a prayer. All right. Well, we have Stephanie and Allison in the studio here. And Stephanie, how did you two meet? Like one from Harlem, one from Florida. Pollard's based here, right?
Yeah, here in Northern Georgia.
Northern Georgia. So you're far apart. City girl, country girl. How did you two ever meet each other?
We actually met on the beaches of Puerto Rico.
That's interesting. How did that happen?
Are you married? Like...
So believe it or not, we both dance Argentine tango. And actually last year, Valentine's weekend, there was a tango festival in Puerto Rico. And we randomly connected because we were both looking for a roommate to split a hotel room on. So that's how we actually became roommates.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it works at these festivals. You kind of get on their event page and you just say, hey, looking to share a room. Because tango people are sort of, you know, universally friendly and, you know, wanting to save money.
I guess you'd have to be if you're dancing tango with strangers.
Right. Well, friendly and wanting to save money. So, you know, like all we care about is the dancing. So let's split a room.
I don't know if I've ever met friends that met doing tango before. That's a first.
Yeah. So that was how we met. And we, you know, we're laying on the beach and we're talking and she's telling me what she does. I'm like, wait, you ride horses for a living? That is the coolest thing I've ever heard. So yeah, that was our, and at the time I wasn't riding. So she was part of the inspiration that got me to finally learn.
So how did a Harlem girl find a horse to ride?
Well, my mother lives in Northwest Connecticut in the Berkshires, and there's plenty of riding up there. And I, in the summertime, I typically go up there every weekend anyway, just do yard work and like hang out at the lake, and it's beautiful up there. So I, between meeting Allison and then watching American Pharoah, Jamie, I knew you would love this part. After American Pharoah won the Triple Crown, I was like, Why am I not riding? Like, what is wrong with me?
American Pharoah inspired you to ride?
He really did.
That's so exciting.
He and Allison, like, so she's in the company of legends. So immediately the next weekend I booked my first lesson and have been absolutely bitten ever since.
And so do you have a goal in mind or just riding?
My short-term goal is Hunter Paces. Long-term goal would probably be to, like, I don't know, move out of the city.
Hunter Paces are fun. Jennifer loves Hunter Paces. That's her.
I mean, it's very frustrating for me to be a weekend rider. I do love the city, so I'm
what do you do
in
the city?
I'm very torn. I'm an interior designer, interior architect, and currently a project manager for, like, renovations.
Okay, Jamie, I'm going to say it again. We have the only smart people listen to us. I just don't get it.
Smart people need a break from thinking every once in a while. We provide that. We dumb them down.
We are the thought-free zone.
I basically build people really beautiful apartments in buildings that already exist. So it's a very neat. Well, that's so part cool. of the thing, too. It's a very niche market. So I'd be.
She must be looking at my studio going, oh, my God.
No.
There are minions on the wall.
Disaster.
Yeah, I mean, you think people spend money on their horses. The amount of money people spend on their apartments is, I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing to me that anybody can afford it, but we create some really amazing spaces, so it's pretty cool.
That's probably because they don't have horses.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then with us also, we have Allison Thompson. And how long have you been riding?
Oh, I've been riding since I was really little. I got my first pony when I was 5. And
yes, Jamie, that is a Southern accent.
I grew up in Pony Club and just riding ponies bareback and slowly switched to eventing when I was in high school and then didn't really get serious about it until after college. So,
how did you end up at Michael Pollard's?
I had spent a year working for Jim Graham out in Alabama. And as that year was coming to a close, I had a horse going intermediate, and I was looking to start working for a full-time rider. And I'd heard lots of great things about the Pollards and just sent him my resume and got the interview and got a job within 3 weeks. So, and I've been there for 4 years now.
And if you want to know who he is, he was on the Eventing radio show last week. Is that right?
Yep.
So what do you like about eventing? Is it the thrill? Is it the...
I love it. And I love the training aspect. I love that there's always the next challenge, you know, every single phase requires a ton of work, and it keeps it really interesting. And of course, the thrill of cross country. You know, I love galloping full speed and jumping those big jumps.
Do you hope to go out on your own at some point?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of thinking about doing that in the future.
It's obviously a scary move, isn't it?
For anyone who's been following Michael, he's made a huge shift in the last 6 months. And I'm actually the only person here working for him in Florida now.
Is he getting out of it? Or I didn't hear any of the news. So
He's down to one competitive horse right now.
Oh, wow.
And he's spending way more time focusing on some other businesses and spending time with the family. You know, with a full barn of 20-some horses, he's competing every single weekend.
Yeah.
And, it was very, very busy for a long time. So this is kind of a nice breather. Whether he catches his breath and wants to get back into it a few
Eventers
years
are like
from
boxers.
Now, we don't
you never
know.
Say they're retired because they never really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So while he doesn't have any big, he's got the one big time horse in the barn now. He's got a barn full of up and coming homebred, fantastic warm bloods up
in
Georgia.
Oh, you get to play with those?
Yeah.
Oh,
so, they're all up in Georgia right now.
You're
so I see them in the
dream.
Summer. But yeah, I think we have 9 horses under the age of 3 up there. So maybe once those start competing, we'll start seeing some more of them again.
Now, your horse, tell us about your horse.
I have a horse named Merlot. He's 9. He's a Holsteiner, and he's going preliminary right now. So he's kind of, we've had our third run now this season. We just did Rocking Horse Winter 2 and had a fantastic run. So
for those keeping track at home, preliminary is the level I've always aspired to get to and never been able to. So just for those listening.
Yeah, I still consider him green. I know that bothers you a little
Shut
bit.
Up.
But I still feel like he's learning. He's learning how it goes.
Jumping 3-6, but he's green. Sorry, carry on. Didn't mean to interrupt.
So Rolex in 3 years then. I give everybody 3 years. What do you think?
Okay, well, maybe. We'll see.
Okay, so you're the first one to say maybe.
He's got the scope, and sometimes you just don't know until you... till you get to that level. Like,
he'll be the green horse at Rolex.
You'll be the green one, yeah. Yeah, the 4-star. This show over the weekend looked like there were tons of people there. That's not too far from here in Florida. Yeah. Yeah.
And my first horse show.
Oh, the first one you ever saw?
Yes.
And you went to an event for the first one?
Yes.
Tell us the funny story about you walking the cross-country course.
Well, poor Stephanie. You know, this is her first time seeing eventing, period, and we're trying to walk my preliminary course and intermediate's running, so it follows about the same track, and you know, every 2 minutes there's a horse galloping at full speed behind us, and we're like, okay, quick, move to the right.
We're
trying
to figure out which direction,
trying to keep an eye on all the intermediate jumps. I'm like, okay, look at the red numbers, like we got to stay out of the way of the red numbers, and of course all of mine are basically right next to those. So
Buck and Boyd almost ran your butt over, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Buck had so many horses, he kept going by every, you know, 10 minutes, he was on another one.
Man, I looked at how many entries he had, and I lost count. He had 4 horses in the advanced, at least. He must have had at least 15 horses going that he was riding himself. It's so crazy.
I might have seen Bruce Davidson, his dad, in the wild the other day. I won't mention where, but I did see him in the wild the other day. But he looked like he was trying to get some alone time, so I did not go up and do a selfie.
Stars, they're just like us. Bruce Davidson's at the grocery store. He goes to the grocery store.
They do eat, apparently. Well, I'm so glad you guys... How long have you been listening, and how did you find us?
So I have been riding, like I said, since around the Belmont last year. And I started... So,
I like how she judges her time by the horse races. That's
I
good.
Love her so, more now.
So, you know, a friend of my sister-in-law had a bunch of horses. She's got 3 Morgans, and she was like, oh, come hang out with the horses. You know, they don't get enough attention, da-da-da-da-da. So I met this one horse and sort of bonded with her a little bit, but she was a touch crazy. And then, you know, the more I hung out with her, the crazier I seemed to... I don't think she became crazier. I think I just realized, like, wow, I'm really out of my depth here. Like, I just started being horsey. But so that led me to the Horsemanship Radio Show, just to try and listen and gain as much.
Curious how you found it.
I think I went to the podcast menu because driving 2 hours to Connecticut every weekend, I'm always looking for something to listen to. So I listen to a lot of like books on tape and, well, not books on tape, obviously, but you know, audio files. Mm-hmm. And,
That's so old school.
I know. Exactly. I can't believe I just said books on tape.
I did. We started with books on tape. Remember how books on tape, they used to have them at Cracker Barrels?
Yes,
they used to have in the gift shop at Cracker Barrels, and you could actually buy one and then drop it off at the next Cracker Barrel when you were done.
I didn't know that. That would have been like life altering when I was driving from DC to Connecticut all those years. But yeah, so I think I just searched in the podcast menu and looked for literally just searched horsemanship.
And that's why it popped up.
Because I had found, I think, first the couple of books you just mentioned on the page from Mark Rashid. Mm-hmm. And Amazon has this really great thing called Whisper Sync, unfortunately, there's not a lot of horsey books available, but where if you buy the book, you can also listen to the audio. So like I'd read the book on the subway, and then I'd get in the car, went to drive to Connecticut and listen to the audio version. So... then when I ran out of those, because there's not a lot of them, that was when I found the Horsemanship Radio.
How did you end up listening to us then?
Somehow or another, I think I might have heard somebody mention Stable Scoop. So Stable Scoop was next. And then, you know, you keep talking about Horse Radio Network, Horse Radio Network. So I I just went and like saw, I'm like, oh my gosh, they have a daily show. Let's listen to this. So, yeah. So I listen when I'm walking my dog in the morning, when I'm driving.
Perfect. It's so cool that, you know, we hear from different listeners around the world, and we have our big Swedish contingent and then all the Australians and New Zealanders and the Canadians and everything. And it really is, we forget that people are listening kind of while they're doing other stuff. And it was always funny to hear what different things they are doing.
Yeah, it actually helps me keep my house a little neater than I'm used to keeping it, because I'll just play it and that'll give me something to do, because I get distracted and I, you know.
I'll put that on the list for my speech this weekend. We help people clean their houses.
Absolutely, because otherwise I'll go sit down and like get on Facebook or, you know, something.
You can tell she's not a true horse girl because she actually cleans her house.
Well, because I don't have to deal with the horses during the week. So believe me, if I had a barn, my house would not be that clean. But so yeah, I play it and it gives me something to listen to while I just, and as long as the show's playing, like if there's more show and I'm done, I'll just go clean something else. So it actually works out really well.
Allison, is your car a disaster? Like,
no,
all other
I have a fairly new truck to me and I keep it very clean.
That'll end in about another 3 months when the truck's not new anymore.
Listening to this show, and then I got in her car, I was like, oh, your truck's really clean.
Because nobody that has horses' trucks clean. Well, we're going to take a break for our song today, and we also have to hear from Equestrian Collections. And then we're coming back with more stories from Leslie Wiley about her trip to see Lady Martha in England. This has just blown up the internet. I think that she killed the internet. All I've seen on my Facebook feed is people sharing this story. And I think it's ironic that a fox hunting story is going to end up being probably the biggest story in Eventing Nation all year. But yeah, she can write and she certainly can talk. So we're going to be back with Leslie from Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horses in just a minute.
When you need to resupply, replace, update, or invest in the stuff that makes your horse life possible, stop by EquestrianCollections.com first. Browse through some 7,000 boot choices from great brands like Ariat, Boggs, Mountain Horse, Ovation, Smoky Mountain, and more. Outfit yourself in the latest and the greatest. And don't forget your horse. EquestrianCollections.com offers some 400 blankets, sheets, and coolers from Buckus, Amigo, and Rambo by Horseware, Hug, Kensington, Triple Crown Custom, and Weatherbeta, just to name a few. Your horse will be warm and dry and stylish this winter. Not sure what type of saddle pad you want? Well, go to Equestrian Collections because they have over 600 different choices. No matter whether you ride English, Western, or bareback around the backyard, EquestrianCollections.com has the most amazing selection of brand name products you are going to find anywhere. So stop by today, EquestrianCollections.com.
Chances.
That was Templeton Thompson with Born to Run. That was for you, Jamie. That was for O'Malley. That dedicated to you guys. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, Coach Jen, which we haven't. Are you even there, Coach Jen? Are you alive in there?
I am here. I am watching your pony fight with his hay net.
Okay.
She's having
very,
breakfast.
Very entertaining.
Yes, and also apparently having breakfast. So thank you so much for being here, everybody. We really appreciate it. If you missed Jamie's story about the new boy, then you're going to want to take a listen to the beginning of the show. If you're coming in late, just listen to the recorded version a little bit later in the day. We're glad to be brought to you today by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And now it is time for the second person everybody's been waiting for, the superstar of the internet. She almost broke it last week.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Hey, Leslie, how are you?
Good morning.
So good to have you back. I was surprised. I wrote to you this morning fully expecting you to say, I am too good for you people now.
Never. Never.
You and Lady Martha. I figured you just moved over there into one of the castles and you were never coming back.
That would be nice. Yeah.
My God, girl, your stories have blown up.
Well, they're pretty easy to write. Like I said, the story, kind of wrote itself. And there's still one more edition left, which should... If not that I've started it yet or anything, but we're hoping to get it published this afternoon. So,
get this little radio show thing keeping you from writing your story.
I'll get to work on that right
away.
Well,
now we got a little preview last week before you wrote the story of the whole story with the fox hunt and your bloody nose and wild Lady Martha. So, are you going to give us a little preview of the one today?
Yes. Let's see. Where did I leave off last week?
Blood gushing out of your nose.
Uh-huh. Rotational falls. Your
rotational
maybe
falls.
Broken elbow.
Drunken balls. Yes.
Yes. Well, So today's going to be the final edition, and in which I go on one more fox hunt and also go to a swanky hunt ball. Let's see, what can I, a little sneak preview. One, I woke up that morning in this sort of castle-like structure. It looks a lot like the Smithsonian. I was like, did I just fall asleep in the Smithsonian? So anyway, and I was...
Oh, I got to ask you. You know, you see the pictures of all those castles like Downton Abbey and all of that, right? Are the beds comfortable? You didn't know. You were too drunk. You didn't have any idea.
I'm sure it was quite comfortable. Unfortunately, I fell asleep on the floor on the way to the ice cream in the refrigerator. It wasn't mine. I'm just kidding. That didn't happen. I'm slightly glassier than that.
Slightly.
Sorry, go ahead.
But so I woke up. I was pretty sore that morning. I did try to get out of hunting. I kind of... crept downstairs and was like, I don't know. I feel like I got hit by a bus. And the gal who was hosting us that night said, she looked at me and she said, do you still have the skin on the inside of your thighs? And I was like,
in a very British accent.
Yes, a very British accent.
I was still like, have the skin on your inside of your thighs.
I was like, yeah. Not. I did. To my credit, I had skinned, taken the skin off of the inside of my knees. But she didn't ask about my knees. And so I was like, yeah. She said, okay, then you're hunting. And I did. Game face on. Went hunting. Had a fantastic second hunt on another gigantic chestnut named Mr. Fox, which is that not the cutest name ever?
Did you rename this one? The last one you renamed.
This one actually had a name. Like, okay, right. Yeah, I mean, Mr. Fox is, I mean, I couldn't have even made that up. That's how cute a name is that.
It's really cute.
Especially for like a 17 plus hand giant there, but Mr. Fox. But he was super fun to ride. And then me and my busted up nose made an appearance at the ball that night. And so, yeah, so that's going to be the fourth and final installation of the Martha Chronicles.
Were any of the Royals at the ball?
No one that I spotted.
Okay. Leslie, I must ask. So you go to a ball after having a bloody nose and being covered in mud and skinning your knees and all that nonsense. Did you have a dress? Who did you wear? Did you buy something? Did you have to shop? Did Martha's dresses fit you? Like, how did you dress yourself for Cinderella's ball?
Yeah, this was a source of great consternation. In the weeks leading up to my trip, because like many horse girls, you know, I don't have too many ball gowns hanging around in my closet, you know, so.
Goodwill, here she came.
So I actually reached out to a friend of mine who is just one of those just perennially, she's a designer. She makes like super cool accessories, headpieces. I just was like, you know, I think I can, if I can get away with just, you know, like a JCPenney, like bargain basement ball gown, if I have like some super cool accessory, you know, like, giant things that
fascinator,
Kate Middles fascinator. If I have like a cool fascinator or something, you know, the giant things that girls stick to their head, to the side of their heads. Fascinating.
So class is emitting from you at this point because you don't even know the name of what you're talking about.
Right.
Okay, carry on, carry on.
And the sweetie that she is, she's like, oh, I just wore this gown, this $3,400 gown that I, you know, like traded out some seamstressy work for to the Met. Last month, and I made like the Met fashion page, and it's gorgeous. And yeah,
okay. I don't know what kind of people you have as friends, but I'm impressed.
And I just feel like I have this vintage, beyond fabulous, like floor length coat that goes with it, satin, and I'll just send it to you. And I was like, okay, you know, cool. And it turned out it fit like it couldn't have fit better if it was custom made for me, perfect length, perfect fit. So I, you know, fold this thing up and
chuck it in your bag.
My hat, my tall boots. Which did I tell you about my tall boots and helmet? What became of those?
No.
I purposely brought like my oldest helmet and my like some old like falling apart at the seams boots so that I could just throw them away after the second hunt. And I did. They now live in a trash bin somewhere in on the sidewalk
in England.
Because one, I mean, the helmet probably needed to get thrown away anyway, because you when you have a bad, you know, when you have a bad fall, your helmet, you know.
Yeah, and you did do a rotational, so probably the helmet should go. But, yeah.
And then the my boots, if they were not already about to bust at the seams beforehand, they were going to afterwards. So I was just like, goodbye. Now, and I don't have to clean you, so.
Did Lady Martha take you by the hand when you arrived at the ball and guide you through the evening?
No. Oh, I've been training my whole life for this. Training is my specialty. That's what I majored in college.
What? Balls?
I have lots of range. Lots of range. Comes to partying. Yeah.
So what is the drink of choice at a British ball, by the way? What is the drink of choice at a British ball?
The drink of champagne.
Champagne, yeah.
But also we did some Jaeger bombs, so I don't know. Well, since I was in college for sure, for good reason, I remembered as soon as I, you know.
Was Martha involved in the Jaeger bombs? Was she pushing you to do it, or did you just go off on your own?
Oh, she's the pusher. She is the absolute pusher. I mean, did I take my favorite Martha moment? Did I tell you guys this last week?
No, go ahead. Tell it anyway.
the crowning moment. Was we get to the swanky hemp ball. It starts with a sit down dinner. You know, there's like 8-10 people at our table, and to the absolute horror of all, you know, a couple hundred people at the ball, you know, fancy pants, dressed to the nines people. First thing Martha has us do when we sit down at the table is stand up on our chair, go around one by one, stand up on our chairs, yell, "I am Spartacus," and down our entire glass of wine.
Shut up. And she says it, and people do it, right?
It's without so much batting worse with the detail of one
seriously.
By one.
Yeah, one by one.
She left out that detail last week.
Like, okay, that's, we're doing
that
this.
More horrifying. Right.
Is Martha known just, you know, throughout the entire country that when Martha shows up, it's going to hell quickly?
Probably so. Probably.
Do you think she doesn't get invited to some of the swanky parties?
I think she probably gets invited because of, yeah, like we need a little, you know, live
spice this one up. Yeah. Invite Lady Martha.
So Lady Martha says, "Stand up on your chair." Like, that would not fly if I said that just at a regular dinner party. Hey, stand up on your chair, yell out, "I am Spartacus," and down your wine. But people just do it, huh?
People just did it. Yeah.
Did you go first? Were you first?
No, I was, I think I was like next to last. Yeah. So I just, it's like, wow.
That's so crazy. I'm reading the new blog, and I loved the fact that, you know, basically you come down, you see Martha, she's dressed to the nines. She's got those little hunting pants on with the jodhpurs that the thighs pop out, you know, they poof out. And the first thing she says to you, first thing in the morning is, "We need a drink."
Right.
You know, it's got to be really nice to have so much money that you just don't have to worry about life. I mean, you just live in anything you want to live. Last week we told you, matter of fact, we insisted that you contact Martha and get the rights to write her book. Now, did you do that?
Well, that would be, I do have a little surprise that we'll be announcing at some point. The adventures of Leslie and Martha are not over.
Oh, so, heard it here first, yeah. Folks. Heard it here first.
So we'll see.
Has Martha been reading the stories, by the way? Has Martha been reading the stories?
Yes, yeah.
And what does she think?
She thinks they're a hoot, too. So, she's happy. She hasn't, you know.
Martha's going to, by the time you're done, Martha's going to be more famous than Kate.
I think she's just glad that, you know, I think, like, what if I had gone over there and I'd been, like, an undercover reporter for
E!
The Daily
Magazine.
Mail or
yeah.
Tapper
yeah, that's right.
Or whatever they, you know, whatever their Us Weekly is over
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Or, like,
Entertainment Tonight.
You know, like, working undercover for PETA or, you know, like, you know what I mean?
It could have gone poorly.
It
for
could have
sure.
gone poorly.
She for, did yeah. not know the touchdown of a guest she was inviting. That's the thing. Like, if you're going to invite a total stranger to your house to, like, party, ride horses, go crazy, she invited the right girl. So cool. Now, this helmet cam that is in the article, is that your helmet cam?
No, that is Alice Pearson. She's an event rider who sort of moonlights as a fox hunter, and she wears a helmet cam whenever she goes out hunting and hunts with Ludbury quite a lot, and we've posted them, shared them on Eventing Nation before because they're always so fun and edited together and
they're demonic. I mean, it is. I can't believe you did this. Like, first of all, Oh my God, that was a huge hedge. You're jumping these huge hedges, galloping through crops, it looks like, leaving hoof prints, just destroying everything you're going past. It's crazy. And this is really cool. I wish I could figure out which one you are. You should have ridden right next to her and waved.
Yeah, there's no telling. But yeah, I do. I am in one of those. I guess there's a couple photos of me and riding in the story. The one is the coming up on the great big. I mean, how big do you think that hedge is? I don't even know. 6 feet.
It's insane.
It's big.
So I'm trying to figure out which one is the picture of you. Is it the one that the horse? I see Alice Pearson jumping. Is it you underneath? No, it's not.
Let's see.
Is it you with the dirty coat covered in mud?
No, that's not me. No, I'm the one. Well, I'm on the chestnut. And the one of the big coming up on the big hedge. I'm the one with the double chin and the chestnut. She's about to poop in her pants. That one.
I mean, not only the fence, there's a hedge on top of it, and you're heading for the biggest part.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be me. Yeah, I distinctly remember that too. I was like, well, at least my horse goes through things, because this is about like literally 10 feet tall.
Yeah. Well, Leslie, we can't wait to read the next chapter, and I'll be contacting you off the air, because you have to tell me what the hell's going on. I want to know.
Don't tell him.
Off the record, of course, Leslie.
You know what, though? You may have a double chin in the picture, but your lower leg looks very good. That secure lower leg, straight elbow to mouth connection. Oh. Nailed it.
It's like, I'm just going to go ahead and slip my reins right here. And
right? God, that is so huge. That's insane.
You're the girl, Leslie. You're the girl.
I'm that girl.
You know, I usually save this for Jamie, but we'll play it for you today.
I don't want to be that girl. Girl, that girl, that girl.
That's for you today.
Yay! There's two of us. Yay!
We are those girls.
All right. We can't wait till the next adventure of you and Martha. You got to bring Martha over here. That's what you got
to
do.
I know. I told you she wants to come over and go to Dollywood.
Oh, you two at Dollywood? That'd be a trip.
She wants to come to Dollywood and eat fried chicken. Like, that's her.
We need to do a listener meet up at Dollywood when you two are there.
Come to Dollywood and eat fried chicken. The dream of every
British person to come to Dollywood and eat fried chicken. You said she's a huge Dolly fan.
Yeah, she is. She is.
Wow. Yep. You could probably, if you called Dolly and told her that, she would meet you there.
Oh, my goodness.
Dolly would do that in a minute. If you told her who Martha was, she would so show up for that.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if I could handle that.
She'd probably party with you too, actually.
Yeah, find when Dolly's going to be in concert in Nashville and doing a show and take her to it. Pay her back.
Does Dolly still live in the mountains there in Tennessee, or does she live in Nashville?
Where does she? I don't know. You don't hear too much about Dolly's
she's got
personal life. You know,
70s
she
now.
Lives around. Think.
Yeah. Well, you guys, you got to contact, reach out to Dolly and make this happen.
She lives in the castle in Dollywood. Obviously. Yeah.
Obviously.
Thank you, Leslie. Horsenation.com. We didn't talk about anything else because nothing else matters, Leslie. This is the story of the week. All right. We'll see you.
Very good. Take care.
All right. Bye, Leslie. So I got to do something fun over the weekend, Jamie. I got to, for my first time, go on zip lining.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Have you ever done it?
I ziplined in Hawaii, and I thought it was the greatest adventure of my entire life. I dove off of these things. My arms, they said I was starfishing. They have a term for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I turned around, and I look at my fighter pilot husband, who's just, like, clipping his fingernails while he's scooting through the zipline. ridiculous. So yes, I'm glad you appreciated it. Like,
oh, I did. I had a blast. Like it? It was a lot of fun. Yeah, I had a blast. They have a really nice one here in Ocala. They have a quarry that's about 100 feet deep. They actually said it's the highest point in Florida because the quarry's so far down.
Because Florida's flat.
Yeah, because Florida's flat. And you get to go over the quarry. The one you go out 600 foot long. You come out of the trees and the quarry is below you with the lake and everything. It's beautiful. So it is really cool. So I think, you know, next year we're talking about doing the listener meetup here in Ocala during Live Oak. And we could do a zip lining. And the cool thing is the zip line place also has trail riding. So those that don't want to zip line could go trail riding and we could just rent out the whole place and go over and do it. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Cool. But that'd be super.
Yeah. So that was great. I got to do that. We had a real redneck day on Saturday. Went from zip lining to dirt car racing.
I think I saw something at a terrible redneck race. Why were you entertaining guests?
Yeah, Jennifer's dad loves racing, so we took him to the dirt car race, which I could have done about an hour less of. Pretty much you eat dirt the whole night. There's mud splattering on you, and you know, and then they have these really short, nice 5-6 lap races, right? And it's like, oh, it's over, good, next one. And then they get to the final 30 laps and about 12 yellow flags that seem to take forever. The yellow flags. And then the next day is the Daytona 500, which of course he is glued to the TV for. So, yep, it was a redneck weekend here in
Ocala.
Would
you say that's the most redneck thing you've ever done?
No.
Like, what is the most redneck thing you've ever done?
No. We used to shoot up refrigerators in the back of the farm with a shotgun.
I have to quote Allison what she said last night in saying that is.
I want to ask both you girls too and Jennifer too.
We used to take, you know what shoots really well in the back of your farm is toilets. You get people's old dead toilets and you take the shotgun and they fly into about 100 pieces, 30 feet into the air. We used to beg people for old toilets just so we could shoot them up. Is that redneck enough for you?
Stephanie, what's the most redneck thing you've ever done? Speak right into the mic.
In Harlem.
Hey, there's rednecks everywhere. It's not geographic.
She's an interior.
I think going to the beach last night, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you were at the beach? You took her to the beach?
I'm taking her to all of the, local staples of, if you want to be in Ocala.
It was Sunday night at the beach, too.
Oh, it was packed.
The beach, for those that don't know, is the local watering spot for most of the hunters and eventers.
Oh, it's not the beach.
No,
it's the real beach, the bar.
It might as well be, from what I've heard.
Okay, I got a good one. This might be why I think I have a broken tailbone. When I was a kid, my brother and I made our own zip line out of rope and a pipe, like a plumbing pipe.
Terrible.
And a hose that we put an electrical wire through. And so the wire went through the pipe and through the hose, and we'd jump off the tree and sit on the hose and try to hope. Fully slide down this really rough old
this
rope.
It's right out of America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, the funny part is because you really had to sort of give it a good, you know, oomph to get really going because the rope was old and rough. And I did that and I sort of you kind of have to sit really hard and just go oomph. And it broke.
It is America's Home.
And I was at the top of it and I landed on my bum on a rock on the ground. So I'm pretty sure that's part of my back problem. So.
Yeah, you'd have been on Tosh.0 for sure, or America's Funniest Home Videos. Allison, you're a Southern girl.
You got to have redneck stories all day long.
Well, I think, so I've worked in several different horse places and I call it my tour of the redneck places of the South. Cause I've lived in Chesterfield, South Carolina, and out in Alabama and, you know, Ocala, and then where I'm at in Georgia is awful. there's plenty of crazy stuff going on in every place, but I love all the different really redneck dialects and the things they say.
You got to give us an example now.
So, in South Carolina, so what I'm used to is people say hey, how's it going? Or what's up? Or that's kind of how I am used to people greeting each other there. The maintenance man would say, "What do you say?" And the answer was, "All right."
What do you say? All right. All right.
All right. And they would also ask me, "Are you feeling sassy this morning?"
You're like, that's a little personal.
What's the answer to that?
I don't know. I just like, yeah, I'm feeling sassy this morning. And it was you like 20 degrees.
Just,
and like,
they say that, you just flash them. Sassy here is my boobs.
I am technically from the South, but like when I lived in Alabama, people did not understand what I was saying. And they asked
because your accent wasn't thick enough?
Yeah, and they thought I was foreign.
No, that's when they say, you say something, they look at you and they go, do what?
Yeah, because they just, in Alabama, they just say, roll tide. So
That's it. That's their answer for everything.
There was one distinct time where I went driving. I think I went to the grocery store or something, and I was literally the only person on the road. And I was like, I'm really confused. Like, where is everyone? And apparently it was the big game night. And probably every other resident in the entire town was in front of a TV watching the game.
For our foreign listeners, explain Roll Tide.
Well, it's like the slogan for the Alabama football team.
There you go.
That's a lot of pride football.
Yeah, a lot of pride there. Yes. A lot of pride. And you're South Carolina originally, right?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Asheville, North Carolina, which is big horse country now.
It is.
You move out, look what happens.
Yeah, the Tryon is now getting weird. So,
who ever thought your sleepy little town would be a big horse world?
Oh, it's growing, yeah. So yeah. That's.
And they've got Tango.
They do have Tango.
One of Jennifer's favorite trail rides was to Biltmore.
Yeah. I did a couple
endurance rides. They do an endurance ride there. Yeah.
My dad and I used to do some endurance rides together when I was young.
Did you do the 100 there?
No, we only did like the 35 and like 25 miler.
Have you ever done 100?
No.
No?
Nope. Never quite had the horse for that. I knew a lot of people there.
That's beautiful country with the Biltmore right up there.
So. Just another example of how small the Tango world can be. I was living in Buenos Aires for a while when I was out of work, and I met a woman who, she was your teacher, right?
Yeah, she was my first tango instructor.
I was living in Buenos Aires, this was like 5 years ago, and this woman was there who, like, you know, people just come, especially tango teachers, they come for like weeks and months at a time. She was there, she and I got to be friends, and she told me she was from Asheville. I'm like, oh, I know a tango teacher there, and it was like her teacher. So, and I met her halfway around the world.
Is there like tango competitions? Do you go in competitions or you just do it for fun?
There are competitions, but most people don't do it. Most people just go to festivals and marathons and just, you know.
Is this just a way to pick up hot guys?
No, I think it might be a little bit vice versa for the guys, but I think
guys pick up guys. Is that what you're saying?
But no, it's just it's an amazing thing. It's kind of like learning a language. To me, actually, it's similar to learning how to ride horses in a lot of ways. So it's really in the partnership and the you know.
Yeah, I think it compares a lot to dressage, which is kind of why I feel like it's a kindred spirit thing for me. Like the connection, the desire for connection, and that
silent conversation.
Yeah, just that total like communication and bond that you get is. Very
action,
similar.
You know what? I'm in. I'm going to do it now. And if you guys think I'm a good singer, you should see me dance. So I'm going to go for it.
And on that note, we're going to say goodbye because she's going to start singing here soon. Well, this has been a fun show. Thank you so much, guys, for coming over to the studio. Appreciate it.
Oh,
good to meet you.
So exciting. Awesome to meet you.
We'll go out and say hi to Scooter after.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. He's so cute.
Yeah, we'll go out and say hi. And Jamie, well told. Well told, my friend.
Yes, Jamie, congrats. I'm so very excited for you.
Aw, thanks, you guys. I can't wait to go outside and play with him right now.
I know. I could tell you were itching to get out of here. Well told, and we're looking forward to seeing the many adventures. Is he going to have his own Facebook page once he gets a name?
I don't know. This whole Facebook thing's exhausting, so he needs a name. The Mustang.
Just change Thor's to Thor and.
Thor and TBD.
And,
that's a big catchphrase in
Loki.
Project management.
Should we call him Loki?
To be determined.
I can't do Loki because I already have a Lukey and a Lucky. And that's just
Lucky,
too much.
Lucky,
Lucky.
I think you should post a bunch of videos and let us get to know his personality before we pick a name.
Okay, I'll post some videos right now.
Notice how Stephanie said before we pick a name? Apparently, you don't get any say in this, Jamie.
Well, it's clearly a group effort.
I love it. No, I need all the help I can get. I mean, oh my gosh. Like, being that his name is O'Malley, we've looked up Gaelic words for chrome and gorgeous and beautiful and
Jameson.
Love and honey and all this sweetie stuff, and I don't know, I can't find anything, so I need help for sure. I wanted to name him a superhero name, and I really am leaning towards, and so far I have not gotten any help, either name him Flash because he's so flashy and Chad doesn't like it.
That's kind of boring.
Yeah,
that's
boring. I think there's a lot of horses out there.
What about Captain America and call him Captain?
Oh, that's boring too. I think it's been overused. You need to go more creative.
All right, well, then you work on it.
Jamie, rest assured, we are all working on
it. I think everybody's working.
Okay. I promise you.
Everybody, all the listeners named Lucky. I didn't name Lucky, the listener suggestion. So you guys know, if I like it, I'll take it.
All right. And Lucky, by the way, I just have to throw this in, looks so cute on his trip. He is the most adorable dog ever.
I know.
Yeah.
Joked all the way home.
In fact, Lucky, he's got himself a good home there.
Well, we joked all the way home. We're like, thank God we got a horse. So we have somebody else to take pictures of because all we have to take pictures of Lucky. Like, oh, look at him now. Snap, snap, click, click. So we're like, between the two of us, I don't know. I don't think we took maybe one picture with the two of us humans in it. And the rest were all Lucky and the horse.
Well, tomorrow on the show, here in Horses in the Morning, we're going to have Women in Rodeo. Jamie will be back on Wednesday. We have Horse Husbands on Thursday, and we have already recorded that one. And I got to tell you, we found some good horse husbands this time. And we have two of the auditor's husbands on the show. And apparently they are forced to listen to us, Jamie. So we're going to find out how that goes. So we have all of that coming up. Mary Kitzmiller will be later in the week as well. So a lot more fun coming up on Horses in the Morning this week. Take care, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Play the Jerry song out.
Yeah. We can do that. Here we go.
And now, the day we've all been waiting for.
Jerry Johnson.
Mustang Monday.
Mustang Sally, now, baby. Oh, Lord. Guess you better slow your Mustang down.
Mustang O'Malley, I think you better slow that Mustang down. Well, Mustang O'Malley, I think you better slow that Mustang down. You've been running all over town. I guess it's time you put your flat feet on the ground. All you want to do is ride around O'Malley, ride O'Malley, ride.
The Mustang was my first love.